Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering. Hello, podcast listeners. My name is Alan Collins. I'm the partner at Hugh James, who heads up the abuse team, and I'm joined by my colleague, Danny Vincent. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Alan.
And in this podcast, we are going to be discussing the tragic case of Lucy McHugh, who was murdered in Southampton in 2018. And this particular podcast is going to talk about Lucy's tragic death and, in the wider context, what we describe as a multi-agency failure. So you've done quite a little bit of research on Lucy and her case and the fact that she was a vulnerable young person. She was being looked after, as I understand it, by Southampton City Council, and she was murdered by a lodger, and there's been quite a few resulting investigations into what happened and trying to understand why it happened. And what concerns me is that there isn't really any ownership for what happened. Am I right about that? What do you think, Danny?
So the reason that I took an interest in this is because there's such a strange set of facts in respect of, from reading from the outset, it screamed out that this girl, Lucy, she was going to be at risk. But with many cases, there were multi-agencies involved, which seemed to not discuss the case or pass information freely as perhaps they should have. So just to give the listeners a bit of a background. So Lucy was 12, I think, or 13 years old when the lodger moved in. The lodger was known to police, had a criminal record, and he had assaulted somebody before. The school had concerns with regards to Lucy's safety, and social services then went and visited Lucy's mother, who confirmed that she didn't think there were any concerns. But what transpired is Lucy was coaxed into the woods by the lodger and sadly murdered. Now, obviously, we won't go into any details in respect of that because I'm sure it's upsetting for anyone that knows her or her family. But what came from it was that actually, if the multi-agencies had perhaps, you know, corresponded with each other, safeguarding would have been flagged even more, and that perhaps steps would have been put into place that could have saved her.
So, as I understand it, the report that was commissioned by the Southampton Safeguarding Children's Partnership found that social services did not do enough to act on concerns raised by Lucy's school that she was being sexually abused.
Yeah, that's correct. So when the concerns were passed by the school, social services didn't feel that it passed the first stages of referral. So they didn't really do much more in respect of other than speaking with her mother,
who seems, as I understand it, to have reassured them, and they just accepted, do I take it at face value, that the reassurance was fine and they didn't have to do any more.
Yes, yeah, exactly what happened.
But the lodger had a terrible criminal record.
For a young man, he did have a record that, you know, as the average person, I don't think that you would want this person living with yourselves or your young daughter. He was in prison for theft. I think he was then prosecuted for holding a blade to a female resident's throat. And then whilst he was serving time in a youth detention centre, he then armed himself with a knife and tried to stab a prison guard. So you're talking about somebody that had displayed significant violent outrages from a young age.
Yes, and that begs the question why on earth social services were quite content, apparently, just to accept Lucy's mother's word that all was okay. You know, they've had concerns raised by Lucy's school, which I would have thought would have put them on notice anyway, but something at the very least can't be right. Otherwise, why is the school concerned? They know that the lodger has got this record. You know, you'd think there'd be sort of flashing red lights, sort of saying, well, you know, we can't just simply let it go because mother says everything's okay. You know, this just smacks of time and time again when we have these tragic cases of the blindingly obvious just being ignored. There just seems to be a default position sometimes where people who are having to deal with very, very difficult situations, and I think social workers have very, very difficult jobs and they get a lot of criticism, sometimes unjustified, sometimes it is justified, particularly when the system has these red lights flashing and those flashing red lights are ignored. You know, the fact that a school raises concerns, I would have thought was pretty significant, to put it mildly. I'm rambling on here now. It just makes me angry that we have these situations and we see them time and time again where you've got these professional bodies which are supposed to be talking to each other. They've been set up in order to protect the vulnerable, protect children, manage those in the community who have got problems. You know, they've got criminal records, they might have psychiatric issues as well, they might have drug addiction issues, they may have records of violence. And so instead of being in prison or locked up somewhere, and yet time and time again, we see that these systems collapse with the innocent bearing the risk, you know, with terrible crimes being committed, like here. As I said, I'm rambling on here, but it just highlights yet another case of the many cases that we already have where we're acting for the victims or the victims' families, if the victim has been killed, where the system just simply doesn't work because you have these red lights flashing and they get ignored.
I think the thing that is highlighted here as well, though, is that there are multi-agencies that have different factors and they're not communicating. And we've seen this with our own cases, Alan, that you may have multiple agencies, you know, and when this information is put together, it's not a small red flag, it's screaming concerns, but there's not communication. And I think from this case, both the police force and social services have said that they will learn from this incident and will put procedures in to change that. But again, it's too late. It's failed somebody already. So hopefully, you know, us discussing it and more awareness being raised, it will make changes for other county councils and other police forces and other NHS referrals, just to make sure that, you know, everybody knows what they need to if somebody's at risk.
Well, you know, they say, oh, there's lessons to be learned, we're going to learn the lessons and all the rest of it. But being very, very cynical at the moment about all of this, I'm unconvinced. And I'm thinking of the McCann case, the notorious McCann case, which we're instructed on. We're hoping to have a meeting with the Justice Secretary soon. He wants to meet us, which is good, because again, that is a case where you have red lights flashing, 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 yet McCann was allowed to be out on the streets when quite clearly he shouldn't have been. And he committed terrible crimes as a result. It seems to me that when you have a red light flashing, it is a situation where nothing else happens until senior management take ownership of that red light and satisfy themselves that whatever the problem is or whatever the risk is that's being presented, it has been dealt with. Because too often I see more junior people, whether it's in social services, probation, whatever it happens to be, are the ones who are making the decisions and are left sort of dealing with the responsibility of it all. Whereas it should be someone higher up the food chain who actually takes ownership. And in other words, the buck stops with them, because as with all these cases, no one seems to have the sign on their desk that says the buck stops here. So I think it's tragically a very important case, and it should be setting alarm bells ringing up and down the UK once again. And as I said, I hope that we're going to be having our meeting with Mr. Buckland sooner rather than later, when we can discuss why these alarm bells keep ringing and they get ignored. Anyway, that's the end of my rant. So thank you, Danny, and thank you, podcast listeners. And podcast listeners, if you have any thoughts or comments about this particular story, then please do contact us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.